girl, I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good, I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good, I got a year.
All right, let's talk kids. It's back to school, and we have got the kid doc on the phone, Jeffrey Brusco, MD, PhD. He's the director of the pediatrics program at UHealth. I don't want to spend much more time on the intro. You'll know he knows what he's talking about when he's done talking. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Oh, thank you. Now, the kids are going back to school, and we touted how a lot of them take drugs. I mean, you know, I was actually sitting in somebody's office with their kids earlier today, and the kids were bouncing off the walls. The parents looked at me and said they both have ADHD and they hadn't taken their medicine. My gosh, I was a kid. I didn't know anybody that had ADHD and didn't take any medicine. So tell me, Doc, what's different today than back then?
Well, there are a few things. One is that our expectations for children have changed a lot. I mean, I remember when I was in kindergarten, it was half day, it was graham crackers, it was recess and nap and then home.
Yeah, juice too, maybe, if you
were lucky. Exactly, get some juice too. And nowadays, we're expecting 4- and 5-year-olds to sit still, learn to read, do math problems. And what happens is about 10% of our kids just aren't ready for that. It's the prefrontal lobes of your brain. It's the part of your brain that tells you, sit still, pay attention, do the boring stuff. And whether that's a disease or not, or it's just a trait that in some ways is really good, it's a problem if you're 5, 6, 7 years old and your job is to sit still and learn, and everybody else in the classroom can do it and you can't.
So they are just underdeveloped. I hate to be really technical. So their brain's not fully developed, which, you know, you read about. It doesn't even fully develop till you're like 19 or 20, I guess. But and then you give them drugs to make them compete. Why can't we find a way to keep these kids drug-free and happy?
So I think the first part of what you said is exactly right. The second part's pretty complicated. So if you think about a 2-year-old, 2-year-olds do not sit still and pay attention to boring stuff. 22-year-olds, yeah, you probably should have learned it by then. And somewhere in between, your brain develops enough to be able to do it. And the question always is, can you meet the needs of your environment?
Mm.
Now, when you're 22 years old, your environment may be that you're a radio show talk host. And the more ideas that come to you, the better. But when you're supposed to sit still and do something boring, that's not a good thing. There are lots of good evidence-based ways to help children behave better that don't require medicines. So I think that's the first thing that listeners need to know, that what the normal things that we do as parents typically help most children learn how to behave well. For kids that have ADHD and similar kinds of symptoms, you need a little bit of extra work, a little bit of extra time, and it's pretty tricky. So, for example, what you need to do a lot of the time is catch a child being good and reward small steps in the right direction. Mm. Well, that's not easy to do. You know, if you have a child who, you know, got in 2 fights and broke 3 windows, you're not too happy with him. If the next day he gets in 1 fight and breaks 1 window, you know, you're supposed to say, you made a good improvement since yesterday. That's hard for most parents, most teachers to do. So when we fuss at kids, they usually do worse over time. So learning how to do that right is pretty tricky. So it works, but it's not easy.
Wow, this is great stuff. I'm already going to say we need you back, Doc. Now we touted a little bit about helping kids with homework. What can you do to tip off parents about how to help their kids with homework? I think I see where you might be going.
Yeah, well, there are a couple things. Homework, it's interesting to see how things have changed over time. Again, when I was in elementary school, we didn't have any homework. Nowadays, we've decided, at least here in Miami-Dade County, that we need to have kids doing a lot of homework in elementary school. First thing parents need to know is that there's no evidence that homework in the early years helps you with math and reading and that kind of stuff. So parents worry, my kid's not doing his homework, is he going to learn to read? Yes, he will learn to read. Now, homework does have some value, right? If your child learns to be independent, even if it's only for 10 or 15 minutes, if he learns to be quiet and organized, if he learns to be responsible, those are really important things to learn, even when you're 6, 7, 8 years old. The problem comes in when parents feel like it's their responsibility to get the homework done, and they get too involved. And the research shows that when parents get really overly involved and are fighting with their kids about getting homework done, it makes things worse.
You know, hold on, take a step back, because you rolled through the point way too fast, Doc.
Sorry about that.
No, because I think it may be lost on somebody that just may have gotten cut off in the rain.
All right.
It seems to me that what you're saying is that we can help our kids study, but really it's the process of the studying, not what they're studying, that we're trying to teach. And, you know, and if I think about it, that's the way it was when I started college.
Right. That's right. So a couple simple rules. Rule number one, it's your child's homework, not yours. It's his responsibility, her responsibility, not yours. So you want to set a time to do homework. You might give them their materials. But then whether they get it done or not, that's their job. And if they don't, well, then they're going to have some consequence when they go to school the next day. And they need to learn that. If you save them from the consequence, they never learn that in the first place.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't walk the high wire with a net forever.
Right. And then a second thing might be that you set up a simple rule like no electronics until your homework is done. And a lot of parents struggle with this, right? I have four kids, and they all want to be on their electronic thing all the time. But if we say the rule is you have to have your homework done first, well, sometimes, yeah, they don't do their homework, but then there's no electronics.
Oh, you shut off your Wi-Fi.
It's a simple rule, and that works pretty well.
It sounds great with the four kids. Just pull your Wi-Fi. That's terrific. Now, you know, we talked about some of the easy stuff. And this is terrific stuff. I mean, we've only got about 3 minutes left. So kids are going back to school. We already heard from Lauren Book that talked about what to look for from a, you know, sexual predator standpoint. Let's be positive now and
sure.
Talk about what parents should expect from their kids after the first day of school. They come home. How can parents set the right tone with their kids to be successful?
So great question. A couple things. One is I think what you want your kids to get more than anything else is that they should have a love of learning. If they come home and they're hating school and it's just work all the time, then you're not getting very far. So you want to try to connect what they learn with the cool stuff in their life. So kids who love sports, you can talk about how the math that they're learning is related to statistics in baseball or whatever else. If you're cooking something, you can talk about how you're using math to figure out how you follow your recipe. So I think that's one thing, is you can, in your everyday life, show how the skills they're learning really make a difference.
Wow. Now, you've had some great stuff. Wonder Woman, how much more time do I have? Oh, my gosh. Well, we got a lot of time then, Doc.
Good.
Okay, so the child's come home, and they met some new friends, and their clothes smell a little funny. What should we do?
Their clothes smell a little funny. Well, if their clothes smell funny because they're running around and playing, that's pretty common.
Okay.
That's for sure. And I think that there is a lot of worry nowadays about what's happening to kids in school. And it's important to separate out the younger ones and the older ones. The younger ones, you know, in terms of their activities, there's a lot of innocent playing with each other. And you need to talk to them and see if you can find out what happened, if I get your implication.
Yeah.
The older kids, they can usually tell you explicitly what's going on. And I think talking to your children is the first thing. And the stuff that makes me the most worried is when kids say they have a secret that they can't tell you about.
Whoa.
That tends to be the biggest concern.
Wow. Well, I guess it sounds like that person needs a secret, somebody that they can tell things to. How does a parent break through a wall like that, Doc?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that you do as a parent over time, you know, and this is hard for every parent, you want to develop a sense of trust. And what that means is when your child tells you something, you try not to lose it. When you get really angry with your kid when they tell you stuff, then they learn, well, I better not tell mom and dad this anymore. So if you can be open and calm and not lose it when they talk to you about stuff, you create an environment in which they're more likely to tell you stuff.
Well,
we
need some interactive relationship between you and Ashwin Mehta so he can teach the parents mindfulness so they can come and get calm.
Exactly. Mindfulness is a great thing. You know, if you take a deep breath, let your emotions sort of settle, that's exactly right. There's one other thing I did want to talk about.
Oh,
a lot
please.
Of parents get this wrong, and that is when your child does well, let's say he gets a good grade on a test, a lot of us want to say how smart our child is. It turns out that when you say that, they're likely to do worse next time. If you talk to your child about, I'm proud of you for how hard you tried. I'm really glad to see you worked your best, that you tried to do it as well as you could. You worked hard. Those kids tend to do better in the future. So you want to learn to praise effort and not just results.
Oh, my gosh. That's just awesome because I'm sitting here, I got to just say, comparing this to myself. And, okay, I always got good grades. And I always used to think that it was just talent. And it was talent, all right. And then we talked about this a minute ago, until I got to college.
Right.
When I got to college, I needed the skill set to practice.
Yep.
And
that's
so
right.
It's very important that people, I got to just say it, get trained for life. And isn't that what we're talking about?
Exactly. You're in it for the long run. You're trying to prepare your child for a long and healthy and wonderful life.
Oh, wow. This has been a long and wonderful segment. You know, Dr. Brosco, I hope you'll come back. If people
sure.
need to get a hold of you, how do they ask you more questions or get in line for some advice from you?
Sure. So at the Mailman Center for Child Development, part of University of Miami, our info line is 305- 243-7541.
One more time, because we got some Jets fans that listen to the show.
Yeah, it's the Mailman Center for Child Development at the University of Miami School of Medicine, and it's 305-243-7541.
Wow, Jeffrey P. Brosco, MD, PhD, better be coming back on the show soon. Pediatric superstar, thank you so much for enlightening us on a bunch of really interesting issues.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You got it. Back after this, I'm going to talk about the next Edgewater, Brickle Avenue. We're going to discuss Edgewater. Everybody got on my case last week when I said Coconut Grove. Today, the argument for Edgewater, back after this.